when we hear the things that we are hearing in the news, when we go to the store and everything seems to be super expensive, and when we get news that is not good news, and praise God for His Word, amen? And it invites us again to trust a God who cares, a God who loves us. This coming month, or this month, and in the next month also, we'll be talking about time, treasure, talent, and technology, and how we relate to it. I don't know about you, but I struggle in my relationship with some of these things. But I believe the Bible has many things to share that can help us as we relate to time, as we relate to treasure, the talents that God has given us, and technology, something very new and which takes an important place in our life. And I believe the Bible has something to share with us. So Pastor Jeff and myself will be doing a series on these things. And the title for today's message is All Good Gifts Come from Above. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you give us again to worship you, to be still in your presence, to understand, Father God, that all things come from you. All good things come from you. And so we thank you again for the opportunity that you give us to worship this morning. We ask your Holy Spirit to speak to each one of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Gifts. They're precious to us. Some of them have monetary value. Others have more of a sentimental value. But we all like to receive gifts. Isn't that so? The Bible tells us also it's blessed is more to what? Give than to receive. And in Scripture, we find this principle through from Genesis all the way to Revelation, the principle of giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. And the Bible tells us there is a blessing in being able to give and being able to share from the many blessings we have received from above. Life, talents, gifts that we have received. We have received so that we can share with family, so that we can share with those around us. So that you understand a little about my relationship with finances, with treasures, I'll give you a little bit about my background. And I think kids here will probably enjoy some of these stories. I hope the adults do too. Growing up, my father, a pastor. My mom stayed home. And now I understand why, and I praise God that she was able to give me some love and care during those very important years of my life. And my father was also at one time a student. And you probably know students don't make a lot of money. And so finances were tight in that apartment where we lived. And I grew up knowing that every penny counted. Mom made sure there was food on the table, that we had a place to sleep. And I can tell you, I didn't grow up having any board games or video games, any type of, you could say, fancy toys. And I can tell you, I longed for that. I grew up hearing, you know, on TV, I don't want to grow up. Probably heard it too. I'm a Toys R Us kid. And I thought, man, I wonder what it would be like to go to Toys R Us and just be in the store full of toys and just be able to walk down the aisles and just... So we didn't go to Toys R Us, but we went to Kmart. Yeah, there's a little section there, and so you knew where I was. I was in the toy section. My grandfather, an immigrant from Cuba, came to this country, 1969, 1970. He came, and he came to work hard. And first 10 years of his life, he worked 100 hours a week. After being 1 year in this country, he bought his home, and he paid cash for it in the city of Philadelphia. Mind you, it was not in a nice neighborhood. But he would tell us, I can't afford the things I want, but praise God, I can afford the things I need. And he shared with us a biblical principle of not going beyond your means, not getting into debt. And he tried to drill that into my mom, my uncle, who studied to be a pastor, my aunt, who studied to be a nurse. And he tried to give our family a good livelihood here in this country. And praise God, God gave him health to work, and he was able to be a blessing to his family and to his church. So growing up, I understood the value that money has. And I can remember being in a Volkswagen with my parents, my sister, and driving up to the gas station and seeing this guy come up, and that time was full service, so they would fill your tank, wash your windshield, they would check your oil if it needed to be checked, and then I would see this guy just grab into his pocket and then pull all these big bills, a lot of bills, and I thought to myself, one day I'm going to do his job. He's making lots of money. So my relationship to money, you could say, was very peculiar in a way, growing up. And the Bible talks to us about money and how money can be a blessing when it's used correctly. But it also tells us how money can be a curse when it's used incorrectly. In fact, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not that money is bad, but the love of money is bad. And living in these times that we are living in, we have to ask ourselves the question, God, what is your plan? What is it that you want us to do with the talents, the time, the treasures, the technology that we use? How are we supposed to use it to bring you honor and glory? A big responsibility in these times that we live in. And praise God, we have the freedom to use it. Amen? We have the opportunity to bless others with it. We have the opportunity to share the gospel, not only here, but around the world. And it is through this principle of giving that God has instituted for not only the blessing of his church, but for the blessing of each one of us. I want to share with you a parable, a story that happened during Jesus' time, a parable that he told after an incident. And this story is found in the Gospel of Luke. I invite you to turn there with me. Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. And there we find Jesus teaching the multitudes. Those first verses, 1 through 11, Jesus is trying to let the disciples know that his mission on earth was coming to an end. Things would happen shortly. They had to be ready. They would be persecuted. They would have to leave their city and go to other towns and later on to villages. And so Jesus, trying to prepare his disciples, was inviting them also to look at the things above. Amen? To seek their inheritance in heaven. And as he was preaching and teaching, there was a man who thought, wow, Jesus is a fair man. He's just. I think he can help me with my situation. And if we go there to verse 12, I'm sorry, 13, it tells us, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. A family member had passed away, most likely the father. The children now had this property. They were to divide it. If you were the eldest, you would receive a double portion. The rest of the siblings would divide it up in equal parts among them. And something there was not going right. They were fighting over things. They were hurting each other. And this man thought, maybe Jesus can resolve this issue for us. And Mindy, you shared a story there about how we relate to things and how we think some things belong to us and to nobody else. And this man felt that way. It's like, hey, it's my rightful duty to have this part of the inheritance. And the way Jesus answered him, I think not only shocked him, but shocks us as readers. And it says the following, and he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Why are you involving me in this? Why is it my responsibility to judge between you and your brother? And Jesus did this because he knows the heart and he knew what this man was thinking. In Spirit of Prophecy, Mount of Blessings, we have the following quote. And I believe there it is. Okay, I'm going to go back a little bit. Sorry about that. This man had revealed his selfish disposition. He could appreciate that ability of the Lord which might work of the advancement of his own temporal affairs. But spiritual truth had taken no hold on his mind and heart. The gaining of the inheritance was his absorbing theme. That's all he could think of when he went before Jesus. Jesus, how can you help me get something I believe I deserve? Jesus trying to teach us also a lesson. Use this parable. Sorry about that. And he tells us as ministers, as members of the body of Christ, they were not to settle the temporal affairs of the people. Their work was to persuade men to be reconciled to God. In this work lay their power to bless humanity. The only remedy for the sins of and sorrows of men is Christ. The gospel of his grace alone can cure the evils that curse society, the injustice of the rich to the poor, the hatred of the poor toward the rich, alike have their root in selfishness. And this can be eradicated only through the submission of Christ. He alone, for the selfish heart of sin, gives the new heart of love. Amen. Only God. Only God can change our heart. And I believe these principles that we find of giving in Scripture are there for our benefit, to take selfishness away, to take pride away, and to understand that God has a plan. How many of you would love to know God's plan for your life? Amen. This week I received a call from a friend who just basically said the following: Sam, I've been praying for so many years for God to bless my plans, to show me or to help me with the things that I think are best for me. And I've decided not to do that prayer anymore. I'm praying, God, what is your plan? And where do you want to bless me? And he's been taking God at his word, and he's been seeing how God has been opening door after door for him. I'm going to see the next quote here. The invitation is, let the servants of Christ preach the gospel with the Spirit sent down from heaven and work as he did for the benefit of men. Then such results will be manifest in the blessing and uplifting of mankind as are wholly impossible of accomplishment by human power. The invitation is to ask God, put your Spirit in me. Help me, because I cannot do this on my own. It's difficult for me. So Jesus tells a parable that we find in the next verses. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That sounds like a plan I would come up with. It sounds like a great plan. Wow, God has blessed me with more. And my barns are full. So what can I do in order to store all these blessings I've received? Let's build bigger barns. Let's make sure there's plenty for years and years and years to come. What was the problem in this idea? It was his plan, and it was not God's plan. God had blessed him for another purpose, but he was using the blessings to only make himself happy. And this is what Jesus continues saying as he talks about this parable. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And he finished saying, so it is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Does he need our riches, brothers and sisters? Does he need our money? What does God want? Our hearts. And the reason why he says, hey, give me 10%, that's tithe, of your income. Why he encourages us to give offerings. is because he knows that where our treasures are, our hearts are there also. He says, give it to me. Let me see what I can do with it. Our church has been blessed abundantly. Abundantly. The tithes that we collect help to pay pastors, teachers, administrators, in our conference, in our union, in our division, in our general conference. There's no other place where the church receives money but from church members. And the offerings that are collected locally are used to put lights here in our beautiful church, pay for water bills. Praise God for our church secretary, amen? And for Dale, who helps us with maintenance things. And for a Bible worker, amen? And these are things that we have the opportunity, the privilege to participate in. Because what God wants, brothers and sisters, is our heart. That we will give it to him, that we will trust him. That we will recognize that all good things come from above. Sometimes we want to negotiate with God and kind of tell him, well, God, if I do this for you, could you do this for me? My grandfather told me the following about tithing. This was when he was in Cuba. In Cuba, you don't have credit cards. You still don't have credit cards. So when you go to the store, he had a ledger, and his clients, his customers would come, and they would purchase things, and then they would write it on this ledger. And he would keep track of who had bought what and how much every person owed him. At the end of the week, he would make his, he would add all his sales and find out how much he had sold that week. Not everybody had paid, but he would tithe on what he had sold every week. And he said, Samuel, I did not have one customer owe me one penny when I left Cuba. They all paid me back. Just one experience of how God is faithful. Amen? And what a privilege to serve a faithful God. What a privilege to participate in this work of lifting up people to him, of asking his spirit to come into our lives so that we can be a blessing to those around us. As I told you, I had a really interesting relationship with things, especially with money. And when I was 6 years old, I had my owl, a wise owl. And this owl was my piggy bank. And it was made out of glass, and I could put in pennies and 5 cents, nickels and 10 cents, dimes and 25 cents. And I just put it in there, and about once a month, I would bring it out and stack my cents, my nickels, my dimes, and wow, $4. Woo! I felt rich. I've got $4. And, you know, I would go with my mom to the store, and I would also go, you know, to this toy section, or I would go, once you're going to pay the cashier, I'd see bubble gum. It's like, yes, mom, we should get some of this. My mom would look at me and say, sounds like a good idea. Why don't you buy it with your money? It's like, no, it took me too long to save up this $4, so I'm not going to spend it all in this right here. So put it back, and we would go home. And a year went by, $7, $8, like, whew, it's growing. And I remember one day my mom coming up to me and saying, "Samuel, I need to wash clothes today, and so I need you to give me some of your quarters."
Whoa,
the quarters. I mean, a dime maybe, nickels for sure, pennies you can have them. No. But a quarter, Mom, those are hard to get. And I don't have that many, but I need them to wash the clothes. And I thought, well, what if I lend it to you? My mom, she listened, and with the wisdom that only God can give moms, amen? She answered this way, "Samuel, okay, you want to lend it to me? I'll borrow your quarters. But question, those shoes that you have, the clothes that you have, the food that you are eating," I started to add. I was like, "Mom, you can have the quarters. We're even. We're even." And it's funny that sometimes we kind of negotiate with God in that way. And we say, "God, okay, I'll do this, but what are you willing to do for me?" And brothers and sisters, God has done what was unthinkable. Amen? He gave us his Son to die for us, to die for our sins. And when he asks, should we be willing to give? We should be like, "Wow, you're asking me? How much? What's your plan, God? What do you want me to do?" Brothers and sisters, I share these stories because it has been a blessing for me. I am a proud person. I am a selfish person. But praise God for his word and how he's taught me that all good things that come from above are received so that I can also be a blessing to others. And what a privilege we have in these times that we're living. Has God blessed us? Amen. He's blessed us with health. He's blessed us with family. He's blessed us with opportunity to know him. And we can just list many, many things that he's blessed us with. And the only thing that he asks is our heart. Give me your heart. And with that, I believe when we give God our heart, he gives us his Spirit. Amen? And when he gives us his Spirit, he gives us plans, beautiful plans, how to be of service to others, how to be of service to our family. And the neat thing about all this, brothers and sisters, is that when we do it with a cheerful heart, not bemoaning, not grudging, and I was like, "Oh no, here I go again." But we do it out of gratitude. That's important. God loves a cheerful giver. That's biblical right there. There's peace about it. There's peace. God, I don't know how this works, but you are asking me to trust you. And because you say so, and I trust in your plans, I will follow. And there is a peace about it. Amen? And we see just how God uses the small means. And we might think, "Wow, I need to have a lot to be a blessing to others." But we have the story of the widow's mite. Amen? Praise God for that story in Scripture. A penny, basically. Boom, in the offering plate. And Jesus said, "You see that woman? She's given more than all the rest because she gave everything she had." And Jesus could relate to that. "I'm going to give you everything. I'm not going to give you 10% or 20 or 50. I'm giving you everything I have." The story of a young lad who had the 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread. In the eyes of all human beings, tiny, small, can't do anything with that. You can't even feed a family with that. And Jesus was able to feed 6,000 men and many thousand women and children, and still there was left over, amen? And so again, the invitation is to trust God and ask God, what is your plan? Well, what is it that you want me to do? Thank you for my job. Praise God. Thank you for health. Praise God. Thank you for being able to move from place to place. But Father, what is it that you want me to do? Amen.